The information included in this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing discussed here is intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, and never disregard professional medical advice or delay in seeking it because of something you heard on this podcast.
Hello everyone, this is Victoria Porter. I'm a licensed clinical social worker. You're listening to the Healthy Hot Springs podcast from the Razorback Campercell Studios. Health is our most important asset, and on this show, I sit down with local health professionals to discuss opportunities and strategies for you to get healthy hot springs. Today I have Susan Millard. Am I saying Millard correctly?
You are saying it correctly.
Okay, Susan Millard. She's the mental health specialist at National Park College. Now, what is your title there at the college?
I'm actually the behavioral intervention therapist, and I am involved with the National Park College Counseling Center, where we provide mental health services as well as other case management kinds of services.
And I really wanted you to come in and talk in August, because as we know, it is that time. School is fixing to get started back, and so I'm sure that there are some things that you have unique to you guys going on in the college setting. So can you just tell me a little bit about what's going on there at National Park College, your counseling center, why it's so important, and I'll just, let you talk to us about those things.
Thank you, Victoria. I'm delighted to share with you what's going on at National Park. We've got a lot going on.
I know you do.
We're currently registering students with our anticipation first day of school, August the 22nd.
Okay.
We've got dorms at the college now, and we do have some students on campus that are associated with some of our athletic programs. And, we've had our dorms for a couple of years, and that's put a whole new twist on the services that we provide to our students to make sure that they are successful academically and socially. I've been with National Park for about 10 years, and my job as a mental health provider has changed over the years, and part of that is because we've worked very hard at National Park to have our students recognize that not only do we want them to walk out of our campus with a degree, but we want them to be successful in life.
So important.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So tell me about services that you offer.
Okay. Out of the counseling center, we do some fairly traditional mental health services, individual and group therapy. Occasionally we'll do family therapy. One of the really cool things about our services is that we're free to faculty, staff, and students, which is really awesome because, college students sometimes struggle with finances, and that's often the source of their anxiety and depression. One of the things that we really try to do is promote mental health awareness. And over the last couple of years, we've included substance use awareness as well. Because as you know, Victoria, substance use or misuse goes hand in hand sometimes with mental health issues.
And it's often that it's used as a coping skill to deal with these symptoms, right? These feelings of anxiety and depression.
Right.
So, I might drink to feel more comfortable in a group or something like that, right? So you're saying we don't need alcohol. You can have some help, right? You can come to the counseling center and they can help you with that type of anxiety.
Well, and I think, Victoria, you've nailed it when you said the word help. We have a NAMI on campus club, which is connected with the national NAMI group, which is the Alliance for Mental Illness. And one of the goals of that student-led group is to reduce stigma. And so the key word is it's okay to ask for help. And so in addition to providing some traditional mental health services, we also do awareness events. More recently, last year particularly, we were aware of the need for students dealing with grief. You know, we all struggled with loss mm-hmm. during COVID, and that was a particular concern for a lot of our folks on campus, and so we offered that opportunity for groups. But as importantly, we recognize that our students are going to be leaving our campus at some point. And so if a student needs a particular service that we're not offering, we make it a real point to connect with resources within the community. So that if we're not able to provide a specific program or intervention, then I know I pick up the phone and call. And we connect our students with people in the community to get what they need.
Now, you were talking about stigmatism, you know, that mm-hmm. stigma about mm-hmm. getting help with issues that you may have. Can you speak in terms of specifically to the college setting?
Mm-hmm.
Is there an acceptance at all of mental health, or what does that look like?
No, that's kind of one of the cool things that's happened over the past 10 years that I've been witness to,
yeah.
and that is when I first got on campus 10 years ago, I think people associated mental health problems with crime or you know, not being successful, and over the past 10 years it's been so awesome to watch people recognize that to have anxiety or depression or even bipolar disorder or autism spectrum, that we absolutely 100% believe that you are going to be successful in your life and cope and handle. And people are more likely to seek services. And we've done, you know, the best way to do it is word of mouth.
Right.
Our club, you know, which is students, I make a point to speak to student groups, to be present on campus. Our office is right smack dab in the middle of campus. I've had people walk in, Victoria, that say, I've walked by here five times before I got the nerve to walk in. And so that presence on campus physically is real important, and we try to meet that need to be present.
You know, and I think we, as professionals, we forget how hard it is to make that first step to seek help, right?
It's the hardest step to make, yeah. I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Once you've done that, it's honestly easier. It is easier from there on out once you get through the door. Are there any specific issues that you see coming? You know, I'm thinking of as the beginning of this school year. You know, that anxiety of being in a different place, maybe mm-hmm. you've moved to Hot Springs to, you know, to come to college or for sports, you know, whatever that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see specific issues that you deal with more than?
I do. Yeah. I do. And you know, certainly depression comes with that experience of loss. We have folks on campus that maybe have not dealt with those kinds of experiences in life, whether it's a divorce or whatever kind of death, you know, certainly COVID presented a lot of loss of opportunity, lots of anxiety. You know, my job is to give coping skills to students to recognize that there is that healthy anxiety that prompts you to study for your exam.
Right.
But we also do have, you know, anxiety disorders that are that require, you know, treatment on a longer term basis. Of course, trauma. We're recognizing the impact of trauma on folks, and a lot of times students get to campus and they get in the middle of that crisis mode, and it's then that they recognize that they're experiencing some symptoms of past trauma.
Whenever you say that crisis mode, do you mean explain that a little, just the so much going on, so much responsibility mm-hmm. and having to show up for class and actually doing the work?
College is, you know, requires responsibility, and And a lot of our students also have responsibility to children, to other jobs. You know, we have students who are full-time students and work and have children. And I think that crisis sometimes happens when they make a bad grade, or maybe the idea of a particular profession is maybe they would have to give up that dream mm-hmm. and go another direction. Mm-hmm. Athletes, you know, they get injured. Mm-hmm. That loss of that dream of being a professional sports person, you know, loss can come in many, many different ways. Mm-hmm. And the crisis very often is, well, I'm not going to say it's always precipitated by maybe academic issues, mm-hmm. but it's certainly that loss of control.
And I think that makes sense since you are on campus, right? Mm-hmm. That's kind of the heart of what you guys are doing there. And I love that you brought up this idea of all the non-traditional students, right?
Uh-huh.
Trying to balance
right
so much is certainly... I don't even want to say anxiety provoking, because I think part of what we do is working in this mental health profession is normalizing mm-hmm. what you're going through.
Right.
That the anxiety about trying to balance it all.
Right.
And I can remember in grad school, one of our teachers, you know, we were the whole class. We were just exhausted. You know, it had been there. Just been so much. It was probably right around midterms or something.
Right,
I can't even remember what was going on, but I remember our professor was like, you know, you can graduate with a C. It is okay. You don't have to be perfect on everything. And I think that's part of the work we do is just normalizing that.
Right. Yes.
You don't have to be perfect all the time.
Well, and you know, we see every day that our jobs are to guide people to solve their own problems.
Right.
You know, we're not fixers. And one of the things that we get to see in our work, which is why we love our work so much, is we get to see people discover that they know what to do. They just need to say it out loud to somebody who will listen with empathy and understanding and provide that guidance, that non-judgmental guidance mm-hmm. to figuring out what they know that they need to do.
And they always know, don't they?
Well, you know... certainly we give information, but I do think, you know, being a clinician with those skills in listening that can kind of promote people to think.
Yeah.
It's something we do that's so joyful. But I do think our students benefit from just talking about it, you know, coming in and kind of getting it off their chest. It's interesting. People decide to come back to college for a lot of reasons, mm-hmm. and we have a lot of people who are. It's a new beginning, you know. Maybe they've gotten a divorce, or maybe they. Whatever the reason is, they are motivated to make a change in their life for better by getting education, and change can be scary,
yeah.
and there may be people in their lives that are putting up barriers to their being successful. And so one of the things that I do, I'm very actively involved in a number of community organizations, one in particular, domestic violence, where we identify resources for people who are maybe trying to be successful in school, but there are situations in their life that are preventing that from happening. And we want to give them everything we can give them to make sure that they get success in academia.
And that's where that wonderful network you have comes in, that it, whatever the problem is, you can help, right?
I'm telling you, Hot Springs, we are blessed in this community with mm-hmm. so many resources. And so whatever the issue is, whether it's domestic violence or substance abuse or a child that maybe has got mental health problems or, I mean, I could go on and on, but there are people in our community that are willing to step in and wrap our students up and make sure that they're successful where we are. Yeah.
How many steps do you take if you have a rock in your shoe? Not many. Well, if you have to walk on a prosthetic leg that does not fit, it is like walking with a rock in your shoe. Although there are many innovations when it comes to prosthetic feet and knees, the comfort of a prosthesis begins with the fit of the socket. Michael Kenny is a certified prosthetist who has been walking on a prosthetic leg since he was 16 years old after losing his leg to a motorcycle accident. He is committed to fitting prosthetic legs so they are comfortable, intimate, and optimize ease of walking. Motility Prosthetics has been in Hot Springs since 2015, but Michael Kenny has been building legs for over 25 years. All fabrication is done on site. There are no delays from having to ship to a fabrication house. Adjustments can easily be made on the spot. Motility means the spontaneous ability to move. At Motility Prosthetics, we want you to be able to walk on your prosthetic leg with a sense of spontaneity. Call for a free consultation, 501-620-4800.
Tell me about the faculty and staff. You said this idea that there's a collaborative effort from faculty and staff. What does that mean? Are you trying to identify maybe some concerns that someone might see, or what does that mean?
Well, you know, Victoria, our faculty are on the front line.
Right.
I mean, they are the people that are having the most frequent contact with our students. And we've got faculty. One of the cool things about community college is we've got faculty who have always recognized that our students are more than just a grade, you know, or more than a name. And one of the things that I think the counseling center has done with, most of my referrals come from faculty.
Okay.
And it's probably because they come in crying, or they're not turning in their assignments because their car got repossessed.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, financial issues, or, you know, one of the things that we offer on campus is we have an amazing food pantry.
Okay. I was actually just going to ask that.
You know, and people would be shocked at how food needy a lot of people are in our community right now.
And it is hard to concentrate on having an A in a class or doing any homework if you're hungry.
And you're feeding your children.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, you're hungry because you've got to feed your children. And and it's not necessarily just parents, but, you know, we have young people who, at the end of the month, you know, they're out of money or whatever. But we do have, you know, we try to look at that total person and step in and meet the needs. And I think that's why I think the reason our administration looked at housing and dorms is it was a student-led initiative that there was a survey done on our campus assessing what student needs were, and one of them was housing. And so you're right. If you're hungry or you're homeless or you're, it's really hard to pass trig if you're struggling with some of those basic needs.
And you have to pass to reach the goal, right?
That's right.
Staying focused on the goal.
That's right.
I always say the power is in the doing. I think we think that we're going to have this moment of, okay, I know that I can do this.
Uh-huh.
And then you go do it.
Right.
I don't find that it works that way. First, you have to go do it.
Right.
And then you're like, oh, wow, I can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's true about making that first step into, you know, the counselor. You were talking about referrals, that a lot of those come from faculty. But a student can just walk in and...
With the change in our location last year, we moved to an office space that was very accessible to students.
Okay.
In the past, it wasn't as easy because they kind of had to find me. And this past year and this year, they're going to walk by my door.
Okay.
And, you know, I wanted to add another point, Victoria, because you said something that prompted me to think this. You know, one of the things that I've learned about our students is accepting failure as a blessing.
Oh, right.
And you know, one of the things that I find myself doing, particularly after a midterm, is encouraging those students to recognize you blew it the first part of the semester. What do you need to do different?
Right.
This second part of the semester. And our faculty are always willing to talk with me, to accommodate a student, to look at that mistake, maybe that first part of the semester, and let's see what we need to do to. But anyway, I guess my point being is, I think a lot of us in society today, if we make a mistake or if we fail once, we fall into that, I'm a failure, I can't do this.
Right, and as we know as clinicians, that's that all or nothing thinking, right?
Right.
This idea that, okay, if I made an F on this particular assignment or test, therefore I'm not going to graduate college, right?
Yeah.
That is not what that means.
I knew
right.
I couldn't do this. Right. I knew I wasn't smart enough. And the answer is, yes, you are. You learn from what you did, and you learn to do something different.
And tomorrow we'll do something different so that
That's
doesn't happen again, right? And and it sounds like you're saying your faculty and staff is really good at formulating some kind of plan. I know you said whenever you first were talking about case management, what does that look like on campus?
Well, you know, we get a lot of referrals that are really situational kinds of crises, whether it's my car got repossessed, or I don't have rent money, or I don't have gas, or that is what I'm, it's not really therapy.
Right.
It really is that linking students to resources either on campus within the community to kind of manage that particular issue. More often than not, they come back and the therapy part starts once they recognize that, you know.
This is helpful.
I'm not going to judge you. But we do a lot. And really, there are a lot of our staff and faculty do case management. They just don't call it that. There's a lot of that kind of helping that comes through linking, you know, making sure everybody's talking to each other, the students talking to the faculty. And so that's what I was referencing.
And I can see how that would be so important in terms of whenever we think of these new students, like fresh out of high school, that really have had this level of freedom that they, and I speak from my own experience from that, you know, I was not a good first year college student.
Right.
You know, because it's like, oh, no one's making me go to class, right?
And
so I think there's some degree of learning.
Right.
Okay, this is the only way, this is point A, and to get to point B, I have to actually show up to class and pass a test to get to become, you know, a senior and to graduate, right? You know, it's a process that I think we have to learn whenever we, you know, start out in college.
And, you know, college is a little different, Victoria, than we were there, okay?
And are we going to tell our age here?
One of the things that's really unique and different is the technology.
Okay.
And we have students who identify themselves as experts in technology, but really what they do very well is social media and gaming and some of those kinds of things. And so back to kind of the case management component, we have an amazing group of people who are there to help students manage the learning management system and to develop those computer skills that are really in most professions these days. I mean, it's not just college campuses. We're preparing them for the workplace. But you know, I may pick up the phone and call the learning management folks and walk the student over there. And so that kind of linking to resources, we do a lot of that.
Yeah.
And I think everybody does on the campus. You know, we certainly have come down out of our silos. And I think that's one of the coolest things about National Park is we're a community of supporters of each other's services. You know, I really believe in our Academic Success Center, our tutoring programs. I really believe in our technology people.
And I'm sure that these things lead to higher retention rates.
Well, that's what our hopes are for mental health services. You know, I think what we recognize is that students often will withdraw or drop out and give up if they experience that F mm-hmm. on a biology test mm-hmm. or if they lose their daycare or if they are having problems in their relationships. Mm-hmm. We see mental health services as being an effort in retention, because we all know that getting that degree is going to be their ticket to success in life. Yeah. I believe that with my whole heart. Yeah. I didn't mention that I've got help in the counseling center this year. I'm going to have another clinician available and a social work intern. So we're going to have more people doing the kinds of things that we're doing. And
I can see the excitement on your face, Susan. You're glad to have some more help.
And they're awesome. Yeah.
Wonderful. Are there any kind of warning signs that, I'm thinking maybe specifically to parents or, if we see things, like are you aware of anything that might be a warning sign that we could...
The first word that popped into my head, Victoria, is isolation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I guess it popped in my head because we are coming out of COVID, where we all went into isolation,
But it's a different type of isolation, right?
Yeah. It is.
So let's clarify that type of worrisome isolation.
Okay. Well, a lot of our students are taking primarily online classes.
Okay.
So they may be working on their computer by themselves in that class. And that's not what I mean,
mm-hmm, right.
Because
that's what we want to clarify. Right?
Yeah, because I think a lot of our students really enjoy online learning and not having to get up and go to class and that kind of thing. And so the kind of isolation that I'm referring to might come from maybe students in the dorm, where maybe a student has not come out of their room for a while.
And it's not just them in there doing their schoolwork, right?
Yeah, it's outside of the normal behavior.
No social interaction amongst other people.
Right.
Right.
I would almost call it kind of a stepping back and shutting down a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of the reasons we have such amazing clubs on our campus, is we really, really believe in, from a mental health standpoint, mm-hmm. the importance of relationships. And
humans are social creatures, period. We are.
Yeah.
We need that.
Yeah. Our NAMI club, we have a lot of good clubs. We have a Pride Hawk club, mm-hmm. which is Gay Straight Alliance. We have a Ride Hawks club. We have mm-hmm. all kinds of, for people who like to ride, and just all kinds of really, and so my point being is that if you've got a student that maybe was initially active and participating, mm-hmm. or a student that is an athlete, maybe that some of the team members notice that there's some withdrawal, I think that's a red flag. Other red flags, maybe withdrawing, not doing their work.
Right.
Yeah. I could go on and on, but
yeah. So for like a parent at home, if they're just, so them being, I just want to clarify them, mm-hmm. that being, your teenager or young mm-hmm. adult being at home in their room doing their schoolwork is not something to be concerned about.
Right.
But if they're withdrawing and there's no social interaction and, they're not talking to friends and that kind of stuff, that might
quit showing up for things that they previously had been present for, that there's that change in
loss of interest and normal things, that type mm-hmm. of stuff. And if a parent has a concern, can they call the counseling, or does the student need to do that? Like, how would you facilitate?
Yeah, they absolutely can call, but one of the things that we have on our campus is something called FERPA. And FERPA is much like HIPAA for the educational system, and that is, we do not get to talk to anybody but the student without the student's permission. So
And that's true of anyone over the age of 18.
It's
correct?
True of any of our students, yes. And so if a parent has concern, I would really appreciate their call.
Okay.
And one of the steps that I would take would be to inform them about the importance of the FERPA release, and then I would approach the student about that. And if the student doesn't sign the release, then certainly I can't talk to the parent, but I could certainly, it would be information for me to to be there for that student.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's like I may not can talk to you, Mom, but I am aware now, and we will, as a campus,
support you.
Be aware and reach out to that student and make sure that they're okay.
And it's something that sounds like parents might want to talk to their child about this, right? To their student, just maybe that's the first step. You know, is everything okay? You know, there's a counseling service available on campus, that type of conversation.
Yeah, and I tell you, talking about stigma, Victoria, it's really interesting. This summer, I've had three students who are coming in the fall. They are right out of high school and have already reached out to me about starting mental health services when they get here. And some of them received counseling services when they were in high school.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and some of them maybe have had significant loss over the summer or in the spring and are aware of the availability of services. And they're kind of starting that before they even get here, which has been really awesome.
Yeah. So it sounds like the stigma is going away, hopefully.
I think in our society, maybe.
Just normalize it, right? We all have anxiety. Yes.
We're still working on it. Yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, like I said, you're not alone. I kind of almost say this in every podcast that I do, but you're not alone. You think that you're the only one struggling with this class or, you know, trying to make ends meet or not having enough food. You are not the only one going through this issue. There are people who've been through it. There are people who know how to help you and get you the resources. So
it's probably something that you've said, it's okay to not be okay.
Absolutely. And all of us still graduate.
Yeah.
You know, we've all had times that we're not okay. And with help and support, we get through it and we graduate. And
we hope that not only do they walk out of our programs with that degree in hand, but also those life skills that are going to lead to their success in their profession, in their family life, in their social life. You know, it's kind of that thing that you and I probably needed our freshman year.
Right. It's so different. I mean,
show up and do the work. Talk to your instructor, all of those things. That
I'm trying to even know if I even knew there was a counseling service. I don't think that I probably knew that. You know, and even whenever I was in high school, which this is in the 80s, I'll just put it out there. But whenever I was in high school, our counselor was more... Like, we didn't have a mental health counselor. It was really basically
advising.
Career and, you know, that type of thing.
Sure. So, and we've got those folks, too, who are amazing. And I get referrals from those folks. There is a student that comes to enroll in school and starts crying in the middle of their application. And the advisor will pick up the phone and say, Susan, can you meet us halfway between our buildings and introduce yourself so that they've got a face that goes with the idea of counseling. Because it is that. Once 50% of the work, I think, is done by walking into our offices.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, let's just... It's not like you go into counseling and you're not going to be cured, right? There's no...
Right.
But we're helping you manage this anxiety, giving you the life skills and the coping skills to use that for the rest of your life.
That's right.
You know, to deal with these issues that you have.
Mm-hmm.
What's
Absolutely.
Wrong with that, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm just thinking about all these amazing changes that have happened since my youth, right?
Mm-hmm.
It really has come a long way. So many wonderful things happening.
Yeah, we're preparing students educationally, but also for life.
And I would think these, of course, I'm going to say this as I'm a mental health professional, but wow, these skills are so important, you know, to be able to handle. You know, I feel like we think, oh, we're going to have that dream job and I'm just going to love to go to work every day.
Yeah.
It's not that way.
Right.
Right. You know, we need these skills to get through the rest
of
our lives.
You have to show up and do the work in class. And when you get that job, you have to show up and do the work.
Truly are preparing you for success in so many levels. Okay, Susan, is there anything that we haven't covered?
I can't think of anything right now.
I'm
sure that as the school year begins, we will find things that need to be done that we didn't know today needed to be done.
Yes, always.
And I will keep you updated. But right now, I think we're really excited about our students. I don't know if you're aware of this or not, but we actually didn't have students physically on campus until October last fall.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. Yes. And so
finally back.
Like,
yes.
This is really welcome home.
Yeah.
And so
exciting.
It really is, because it's almost a feeling that's indescribable about the excitement that students have. And you know, one of the things that I have to work real hard on is, it's kind of like you were saying, I'm going to get this job and everything's going to be great. And it's like, I'm in college and everything's going to be great. And then midterm comes. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, we're going to...
It takes the work. We all have the work to do. Yes.
Enjoy the excitement, but we're also going to develop those relationships with those students that let them know when that thrill
is
a little less.
Right. Because it does, that excitement is in the first, 3-4 weeks or
yeah.
so.
Well, really, yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's
and
just
then
the
you're
cool
kind
one.
Of
Maybe
like,
even longer than that. Yeah.
True, yeah. Mm-hmm. Then it's like, oh, I have to study. Oh, I'm getting behind, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah,
there is that shift, and you can help with that transition to make sure.
Right.
So
we will be present for the excitement, and we'll also be present when maybe some challenges appear that you didn't anticipate.
So for the listeners, just make that call. Or just step through the door, right? That's the hardest
please.
Part. After that, it's easier.
Yeah, and we have lots of people on campus who will mentor you if you're afraid to come. You are not alone.
You're not alone, period. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Susan, thank you so much for coming in and talking about National Park College Counseling Services. So important as we start school. And honestly, these go to high school students as well. They have wonderful counseling services. You were just talking about some who, you know, are coming onto campus after having that experience. High school all through school anymore.
Right.
There's wonderful counseling services available. So we just want to normalize that.
Yes.
Encourage parents and students to reach out. But thanks so much for being here.
You're
excellent
welcome.
Conversation.
My pleasure. Thank you, Victoria.
Okay.
Thanks for listening to Healthy Hot Springs from the Razorback Camper Sales Studios. Join us every Wednesday as we discuss a different topic related to keeping hot springs healthy.